given all of us in different ways in this body, Father. And we just thank you for Erwin, Lord, and the gift of teaching that he has. And we just thank you that you've helped him today to prepare and that you've given him this word as we continue in this series of Just Jesus. And we just pray that you'd give him the words and just guide him and lead him, Holy Spirit, in everything that he has to deliver us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Tim. You want to show a video?
This is the worst drought to hit South Africa since 1982.
Because the food prices are so high.
Saved about 41,000 jobs that were lost in the transport sector.
That the country plunged into a recession. This with a surprise 0.7% contraction in the second quarter of the year. The rent reacted negatively to the Stats SA publication yesterday and weakened to above 15 rand to the dollar.
The recent revelations of the state capture and the Gupta emails, are we reaching those crisis proportions?
South Africans are living in a war zone where 57 people are murdered every single day.
Maybe we can add to that the turmoil that Western Province had yesterday. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that in the middle of the troubles of our country, the troubles in our own lives, we can turn to your word and know that you are there, the rock of our salvation, the rock upon which we hitch our anchor and we hold fast. And so, Father, thank you that we can spend a few moments looking at your word this morning. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be looking at John chapter 3 as we continue in the series, Just Jesus. I think Just Jesus is such an apt title for this period of our time that we live in at this moment. I'm just going to read to you some of the verses of this chapter, John chapter 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly I say to you, we speak of what we know, and we bear witness of what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you of earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Son of God. And this is the judgment. Light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their works are evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. The title of my message today is Jesus, the one to seek in the night. Depending on what you look at, depending on how you view matters, the present can look very dark. A little snippet we showed before we started. Every newspaper we pick up, every TV news broadcast we pick up has got bad news and very dark times. Mismanaged state-owned enterprises, child rape, murder, and so on and so on and so forth. Every time you watch the television. Many warn that we are fast becoming another Zimbabwe. And fear and anxiety are rampant everywhere. Many people fear for the future of what's going to happen in this country. And I think the gathering that Angus called yesterday was very opportune because the hearts of many are fearful. And where do we go to in our times of darkness? What do we do when things are that dark? At the time of John chapter 3 that we've just read, matters were very dark and scary for Israel. It wasn't a really nice time to be living in that country. Jewish society at that time was dominated by three sects of Judaism. There were the Essenes. Of the three, the Essenes were the strictest. In many ways, they were forerunners of what we've seen in the Catholic Church. They were a male-only organization. They lived in seclusion. They copied out the Torah very faithfully. In fact, the Qumran scrolls probably were written by them. And they ceased to exist around about the end of the temple when it was destroyed. And then the two groups that we all know about, the one was the Sadducees. And what do you say about the Sadducees? They were sad because they didn't believe in the resurrection, so that's why they were sad. But there was actually more to them than that. The Sadducees was a small group made up of rich and powerful Jews, and they didn't believe in the supernatural. That wouldn't make anybody sad. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in life after death. But you know, they held the highest offices in Judaism. All the high priests were Sadducees. And they were mainly interested in wealth and power. That was what they were there for. They weren't really interested in the people. They wanted money and they wanted to be noted for who they were. They were concerned with appeasing the Romans because they ruled the country at that time. And they were encouraging Hellenization or Greek philosophy into Judaism. And they were known to be treacherous. And the people didn't really like them very much, the general public. And then we get to the Pharisees. And I've done this on purpose because our friend Nicodemus was a Pharisee. The Pharisees were the largest and the most popular sect. The majority of Orthodox Jews were Pharisees. Comes as a surprise because when you read your scriptures, you think the Pharisees were over there and Jesus fought with them. But in fact, most of the Jews were Pharisees. John and all the apostles were Pharisees. Paul was a Pharisee. Mary and Joseph, they were Pharisees. They followed the Pharisee teaching. According to the Pharisees, following God meant obeying the laws of God in exact detail. So if you were a Pharisee and you were writing something, the full stop had to go exactly there. It couldn't be there, couldn't be here, it had to be exactly there. They were absolute sticklers for things being done right. Alright, okay. Are we coming back up again? That's alright. Verse 10 tells us he was a teacher in Israel. He was probably quite wealthy. And he would have reached this position in Jewish society because he was fairly well educated. And so this was Nicodemus. This was the man who came to meet Jesus at night. And so the first point I want to make today is it's time to seek Jesus in the night. It's time to seek Jesus in the night. Verses 1 and 2. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Unless God is... Why did Nicodemus come at night? He could have come in the day, but he came at night. Why did he come at night? Possibly because of fear. He was a person of some standing amongst the Jewish rulers who taught that they alone were the teachers and the explainers of the law. They were the only ones who could explain what the Bible had to say. And Nicodemus meeting with Jesus may have compromised his position. So he came to see Jesus at night. It could also have been caution against the rising trend to belittle Jesus and to condemn Jesus for his teaching and what he did. He was possibly being careful that he wasn't seen to be associating with Jesus. But then there was probably a more important one, and that was uninterrupted audience. Perhaps Nicodemus would have wanted to speak with Jesus without being interrupted by other people. During the day there would have been crowds of people all around him, and maybe he could have got a little word in, but he couldn't sit and talk to Jesus, so he came at night to see Jesus. Notice that he referred to Jesus as Rabbi. As Rabbi, that was a great one, or a teacher in Hebrew. Knowing that he respected Jesus. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do except God is with him. How could he say that? Was he trying to butter Jesus up? I don't believe so. Because don't forget, the Pharisees believed in the supernatural. They believed in the spirit world. They believed that there was life after death. They believed in all these things. And suddenly, he said to Jesus, no one can do what you do except God is with him. You know, in the previous chapter, in John chapter 2 and verse 23, it says this. Now when he, Jesus, was in Jerusalem at the Passover, this is important, at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he did. The things that Jesus did, many believed in his name. And possibly Nicodemus was amongst the people who watched Jesus performing miracles. And because he was a Pharisee, he thought, maybe there's something here. I said earlier it was also the Passover, an annual time to remember the plagues of Egypt, an annual time to remember the slain lamb, an annual time to remember the time when they painted blood over the doorways, and the miraculous exodus of the people out of Egypt, which was a miracle, a whole nation coming out of Egypt. All supernatural events. But you know, by the time Jesus came along, they were just remembering them as a historical event. It was just something that happened in the history, and every year they remembered it. All amazing evidence of the hand of God, but dulled by sterile ritual and tradition. Isn't that just what organized religion has done to God? Instead of seeing God for the vibrant person who he is, instead of seeing God for the one who made everything, who wants to live in our hearts, we've turned him into a ritual and become sterile and religious. In the course of all this tradition, Nicodemus saw Jesus doing the supernatural, and maybe there was a little tug in his heart for something that was real, something that actually was real, not just a theory, not just a theology, but something that was real. And so he seeks Jesus out in the night. Israel was ruled by a foreign power, and the presence of God had been replaced by form and ceremony. And it was nighttime. It was nighttime when he came. And today, as we consider what happened with Angus yesterday, we can remember that South Africa is staggering under the weight of institutionalized corruption, gross mismanagement, terrible things happening in our country. And the hearts of many have lost hope, and they've grown cold towards God, because they say, where's God in all of this? And they've grown cold towards God. It's night time in South Africa, but it's a time to seek out Jesus. In the night, that's what Nicodemus did. He came to seek Jesus in the night. Let me ask you, is it perhaps night time in your life? Is it very dark for you in your life? It's time for us to seek out Jesus. The second thing I want to say is, it's time for a rebirth. Now this might not come as a shock to some of you, because surely if you love the Lord Jesus, you can remember a day when you gave your heart to the Lord and you said, Lord Jesus, be the Lord of my life. But you know, it's a time for a rebirth. Why is that possible? Because over the years we get into a groove, don't we? We start to do the church thing. We start to read our Bible at a certain time every day. We've got a prayer time every time of the day. We've got church once a week. And we start to do the church thing. And what do we do? We get into a groove. And we lose the essence of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's time for a rebirth for each of us. Not not having to become born again to become a Christian, but to revitalize that thing in our life where Jesus becomes special to us, where the Word of God becomes special to us. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. It's interesting, eh? He came to Jesus and he said, oh, God has to be with you because look what you're doing. You know, Jesus didn't even pick it up. He didn't even acknowledge that statement. He didn't say to Nicodemus, yeah, well, you know, God works through me or something like that. He didn't say anything like that. He said to Jesus said, he went straight to the point, and he said to him, Nicodemus, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born again, you won't see the kingdom of God. And you may have given your heart to Jesus at some stage in your life, but can you still see the kingdom of God? Or has the kingdom of God become something over there to you? Jesus said you cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. If one is not born again, then Passover is just another annual feast. If you're not born again, then miracles are just a little bit of magic. If you're not born again, religion is just an endless life of empty seeking. And many people have an empty life of endless seeking. Seeking for something to fill their life. And the key to all that Nicodemus witnessed was that wonderful transition, that veil from this world of our five senses, of our intellect, into that dimension where with God all things are possible. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? He looked at Jesus and he said, that's incredible. Think of yourselves here, adults sitting here. You have to be born again. Is it possible to get back into your mother's womb? Of course it isn't. You know what the problem was? He was still thinking in the here and now. He was still looking at his body and thinking, how do I get this body back into my mother's womb? He was still thinking on the here and now. But you know, Jesus straight away took him deeper. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So in one sense, if you're not born again, you won't see the kingdom of God. If you're not born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Human birth is a flesh thing. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. There are two different things here. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You know, if you cast your mind back, for those of you who know, the tabernacle in the wilderness, if you recall, that Moses put up there. There was a great big curtain around the whole thing, and then there was a door. And as you came through the door, there was the altar of sacrifice where the animals were sacrificed. And then as you went towards the actual tabernacle, between the altar and the door of the actual tabernacle, there was a thing called the laver, L-A-V-E-R. And it was full of water. And before the priest could go into the holy place to minister to the Lord, he had to wash his hands and feet. Every priest had to do that before he could enter into the ministry that he would be doing. In every Jewish community, even today, there are things called mikvahs or baptismal pools. Some of them are no bigger than the one you've got outside there. And every major event in the Jewish life is preceded by a baptism, by a mikvah. So we get baptized once, and have you been baptized? Oh yes, now I've been baptized. I was baptized on the 27th of the 3rd, 1900 in Futsak. But you know, in the Jewish community, every time a major thing happened, they'd be baptized. What was actually happening there? It was a marking the end of one thing, and it was preparing for the new thing that was going to happen. Every baptism was preparing now to go on. And so Jesus was said to him, you have to be born of water and of the Spirit. You need to remove your focus from what you can touch and what you can feel. And you have to begin to see how God sees. You need to begin to see in the spirit realm. What we call miracles here in this world are just common currency in the kingdom of God. We pray and somebody's healed and we think, wow, that's absolutely amazing. God says, that's not amazing. I made your body. I can fix it. That's not so serious. God can do stuff. We think it's a miracle. And there needs to be a line drawn, a distinct break with the past, and an acceptance of the new control of God's Spirit. And that's why I said earlier, you may have given your heart to the Lord, and you may have said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. But you know, we regularly have to start again. We have to say, God, today, I'm going to see you at work. I can read the newspaper. You know, you can pay a lot of money for depression. Every morning you can go and buy a newspaper. Morning depression. You can go and do that. You can go and buy your morning depression. Or you can start the day and say, Lord, today, I'm going to see things the way you see them. Ezekiel 36:26. I'm told as you get older, you repeat yourself. So if I've quoted this before, forgive me. Ezekiel says, and I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk. Cause you to walk in my ways. Cause you to walk in my ways. As we seek after God, as we say to God today, Nicodemus came to him and he said, how can you do? Jesus said, you've got to be born again. You've got to have a new start. You've got to start somewhere. And so we say to God today, I'm going to see the way you do things. It might be night time, but when you receive this new heart from God, you will not only see the kingdom of God, but you will enter that kingdom. If you have not drawn that line and decided to walk after Jesus every day, you will continue to experience this life with your five senses, with your intellect and your reason. Man, what is the government doing now? They should be doing this or they should be doing that. Or, goodness gracious, look what the newspaper's got for headlines today. You could do that. You can do it every day if you want to. The media will provide you enough headlines. Or you can say, Lord, today I'm starting again. I want to see things the way you see them. I can't assume anything, so I need to ask you if you've made that transition in your own life. And if you haven't, start today and tomorrow morning and the next day. And then thirdly, I want to say it's time to see God's love in Christ Jesus. Time to see God's love. We often quote that verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And we forget the opening line. The opening line is, for God so loved. You have to believe that God saw all the darkness that was in Nicodemus's heart. You have to believe that God could see all the darkness that he was operating inside. You have to believe that God can see the darkness that we walk in, and maybe some of the darkness in our own hearts. You know, like Sodom and Gomorrah, he could just destroy us. There's a haunting verse which I didn't prepare for today, but if you read the time when Abram made his covenant with God, or God made his covenant with Abram, he said to Abram, your people are going to be captives for 400 years, but they won't come out until the sins of the Amalekites have reached their full. Ha! That's a verse that gives me duck bumps. God was waiting until the sins of the Amalekites had reached its full. What is God doing with South Africa? Like all the pagan nations that were in the land of Israel when God brought his people in, he could just wipe them all out. He could do that. You know, Billy Graham once commented that if God did not judge America, he would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah. What does God think of us in this country? And I'm so glad Tim spoke about that prayer meeting. It's time to start seeking God. It's time to start praying. It's time to start seeing this country as God sees it. Everything in God's word is motivated by love. And so the Bible says, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. And not a Hollywood type of love, but a deep, constant, benevolent affection where God constantly has our best interests at heart. You have to believe that God has got your best interests at heart. God isn't an angry God sitting on a cloud with a whip in his hand waiting for you to step out of line so he can whack you. God has our best interests at heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. In the darkness of the night, God so loved that he gave. In the darkness. When we were sinners and we were shaking our fists in his face, God so loved us. He isn't an impassive observer watching the turmoil of mankind. God doesn't sit in heaven and say, oh my goodness, just look what they are doing in Johannesburg today. He doesn't do that. God is active. God is progressive. He is involved with what's going on in his world. And so he gave his only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So that you would not only see God's kingdom, but that you would enter God's kingdom. If you see Christianity as just another one of the world's great religions, if you see the Bible as just another sacred book full of hithers and thithers and do's and don'ts, then it's time to refocus. It's time to see the God who loved you and gave his only Son that you may have eternal life. It's time. It's time. It's time to believe on him. It's time to seek the Lord Jesus Christ in the night. In the darkness, seek him as Nicodemus did. It's time for rebirth. It's time for saying to God, this morning I'm going to start the day by saying, how do you see things? It's time to see God's love in the Lord Jesus Christ. John's gospel is all about Jesus. Will you seek him today? Amen.
Thanks, Uncle Evan. Such a special word, and thank you for that, and just delivering us that message. Just as we go now, I think just from what we've heard and what we experienced as a country yesterday, as the people at the meeting, obviously, and all around Hilton and individually, and Jono posted on our men's group, just to everybody was praying. And I think the impression I had leaving and just listening to Duncan Irwin is that you can't come to church and put on one jersey and then when you leave here take it off. You know, I'm talking like a sporting jersey. And again, just referring to Jono when he was baptized, talked about you've chosen what team you're playing for now. And so it's very important, and the real impression I got yesterday as we left that meeting is that as Christians, you can't. There's no place to hide. You've actually got to leave here where you've been equipped and prepared for the week, and wear your jersey with pride. And just to, as we heard today, just to reassure you that you can't lose, because it's always two against one. You know, the Lord is with you, and he says he'll be with you wherever you go. So just leave you with that thought as we leave here now, and just if we could just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you just for that wonderful word that Erwin brought to us from you, Lord. Lord, we just pray that as we leave here today and as people gathered yesterday and in all different places, not just in Pretoria, throughout in Hilton and places actually around the world, that we're just praying for your will to be done, Lord. We just pray that we would be courageous, Lord, and that you would be with us and that we'd be a light to the world, and we would be faithful in our prayers and would continue to pray for your will to be done in this country and in the world. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join us for tea and coffee.